Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hey everybody, I'm Michael Fox, and with me tonight is Destiny Fox, the lovely lady of my life.
Oh, what did you do wrong today?
No, nothing.
I'm sorry.
It is so good to be here tonight, and we are live on this podcast. We are the owners of Fox Paranormal, and we run the page Fox Paranormal on Facebook. We also run a couple of groups as well. We have Fox Paranormal Advertising, where we created that just for you. You can see paranormal events there. Teams post about their podcast, events, paracons, or they just plain introduce their team to everybody and put a little link to their page on there.
Yeah.
Also, I run a little page called The Paranormal Fox.
Yep.
And I love that little group. I really do.
She loves it a lot.
I love it a lot. I have been back starting working on Facebook pages, and I'm excited about that. Finding a little time to do so has been the problem. We have a special guest with us, and we were privileged to meet her a few months back. In person, I've been Facebook friends with her for a while, but actually formally got introduced to her, and that was amazing. And it's so good to have Lee Triana Brown here with us tonight. We just call her Lee. How are you doing,
guys,
Lee?
Thank you so much for having me. It's quite an honor to be here.
Oh, we've been excited about this. It was supposed to take place last week, but technical difficulties, we were unable to do so, but we've got it going on tonight.
Yeah, so, technical problems are all that. That's just something that happens with podcasts. You just got to roll with it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah. So, Michael is the man with the voice, but you're the fox of the Fox Paranormal Destiny.
Yeah, I've always been told I have a really good radio.
You
voice.
Do. It's amazing. Yeah. But she sings, and it is gorgeous, guys.
Oh,
if you haven't heard her performances, you really should. It's very touching and very sincere. You can learn a lot from listening to someone's voice when they're singing, because it comes from the heart.
It really does. And that's one thing that I've learned is when I'm singing a song, I've got to sing it straight from my heart. Because a lot of songs that I sing have special meaning to me. It represents something I've went through in my life. I've written a lot of songs. A lot of them we do every Sunday. They have special meaning. Just stuff you go through in life, and then putting it a little tune to it and mm-hmm. belting it out there. I've been trying to get Michael to sing some too. He has a good voice.
I bet.
Oh, you sing too, don't you? A little bit.
I sing about four notes pretty good, so I open my mouth and let her rip, sing by letter. you know? I could probably, you know, do the background for you or something, you know.
There you go. Yeah. We'll have to try that sometime.
I would love it.
Oh, and we're going to be together the 22nd of September.
Paracon.
Well, the 23rd.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't hardly wait. My son is big into comic book conferences. And he 3D prints in a professional manner like costume cosplay type stuff. He has completely done the suit for Batgirl for his fiance, and he's done Robin for himself. And he looks movie ready. He's fantastic. Yes. And he's done Iron Man's helmet, and if you press the button, it opens and lights blink and all of that, just like on the movie. He's incredible.
That is amazing. So, like, he could take something like a doll or a pair of scissors or something and recreate it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I might have a job for him later on.
Okay.
I have a little something I'd like to get a copy made of any way possible. Just because. It says you have endeavored as a researcher, offering your services as an exorcist.
I
So you.
have done exorcisms, yes. You know the person that I did exorcisms with, that's Leon Wilkes.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah,
I
Leon.
think I've spoke to him once on the phone. Never met him in person. I get to
Well,
meet him in
that's
September.
right. He's going to be there with us.
Awesome. So how many exorcisms have you done?
Well, I have worked as an exorcist on occasion. It hasn't been a dozen times, though. It hasn't been anything like what I did with Leon because I was part of the team. And each one of us, just like in a paranormal team, we each have jobs. And each person is relying on that person to do the job because, as you know, it's warfare.
Right.
And so when Leon's doing his part, he asks me, like, take for instance, he'll ask the name of the demon, or he'll ask if the person is giving me the correct information. What do I hear? What am I seeing? I mean, my job starts on the drive there. It actually can start a couple of days before the exorcism. And we've had some absolutely crazy off the chain cases that I think it prepared me for what I've been able to do recently.
Wow.
We've experienced a poltergeist, which is very rare, as you know.
Right.
But a lot of demonologists would jump the gun and call it a demon. But he knew, Leon knew. And my husband was there, and one of Leon's team members. I didn't really know him. We didn't have much of a chance to get to know each other, but he was trained, and even though we didn't know each other very well, the way le that Leon and my husband trained, being military, both of them veterans, everybody falls into sync. You don't have to know much of each other. You know the job and the way they've been trained, and it was seamless. So I wouldn't want to do this type of thing with just anybody.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people do jump the gun and say things are demonic. I recently learned that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We were on an investigation, and we over the past year have done two exorcisms and a couple of deliverances, and it was kind of new to our team as a whole. And the last case we did, I was in my mind was trying to make me figure out, okay, what kind of demon is this? Now you've got to learn how to separate it. And
Yes.
so I learned a valuable lesson as we begin to, I guess I was gun shy.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean because you're so prepped and terrified for, but you're prepared for that fight that you are prejudging something before you go, and it's not on purpose.
Right.
It's just you've listened to the client, you've done research, you're pretty sure what's going on. And it's extreme. Whatever it is, as far as the paranormal, supernatural happenings, it's extreme. So naturally, what do you think? It's just a knee-jerk reaction. And I was very happy that Leon could understand the difference between those because that's where my husband and I were on that too. So it was great. We did find a short in a house, electrical shortage that was causing like hallucinations, And when the people that were renting the house reported it to the landlord, it was so bad they actually had to stay in a hotel until it was repaired. It would have been a fire. It was
Wow.
that bad. So.
Right.
Now, a lot of people that go into situations like that, they tend to jump the gun. They automatically think everything's demonic,
Yeah,
and that
that
may not necessarily be the case.
just because something's angry and very powerful does not mean that it's a demon,
No.
Right. You're right. After we got home and we began to listen to the EVPs and go over all the evidence, it was like, man, that's it. We were able to identify the person by name.
Good.
And so we know who it is. Now it's this weekend, matter of fact, we go back to conclude the case and hopefully get a good resolve to it. So,
Well,
it
you've
is
done
something.
more recently than I have. That was, that is more your forte at this point. I've worked more as a psychic, in a way to help the demonologist, but I have done it myself
Right.
R recently.
I'm working more on my psychic abilities right now. I do have them. It's just I've never learned how to use it. It used to scare me, to be honest with you,
I know, I know, I
to
know what you
sense
mean.
something, feel it, see it. And so I'm learning to control it better and understand more about it.
Well, something that happened to Leon, my husband and I, at the last exorcism we did, there was a lady. I can't go too much into it because
Oh, I understand.
but this lady, bless her. She had been raised a different way, and she had become a Christian, and so she was trying to get her life together, and it meant severing ties with other religions. And the demon that was connected to her and her family was inundating me with threats. I mean, I could see a four-wheeler coming around, and instead of a deer being on the back of it, I could see a bunch of children, meaning that it would be mine, myself, or Leon's, that type of thing. My
Right.
husband and I, had little kids at the time, and well, he wasn't little, but you get the idea. And it was terrifying. And if I was trying to pray, or deal with the situation directly with the client, and I started having those visions, it would really, honestly, I think it might just freeze me in my tracks. And
Right.
that's actually how I was able to learn to shield so carefully and so strongly. And I think it's better to keep those two jobs separated.
Absolutely. That's one thing I'm trying to do with our team is I'm trying to separate the demonology part from it and go back to the paranormal investigating, which has been it's been a challenge for me. I mean, knowing what I know about demons now, and it's really crazy because you don't want to think everything's demonic, but yet, after you've been through what we've been through, and that's a whole nother show on its own. I mean, there's got to be a separation point. I think with paranormal investigating, exorcisms, and then even bringing in your psychic ability with it.
I totally agree with you. It has
Right.
to work hand in hand, because it's all energy. Demons being the most severe negative energy, some are stronger than others, as you know, and they have different specialities too. But with all of that in mind, their ultimate goal is to basically make you lose yourself. And so you have to know how to be very careful, be very determined, and they're so ancient.
Right.
When you are going against something in the principalities of evil, you have to be prepared, and you have to be able to rely on your team. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Not very different than being in the military, honestly, and going to war.
Right. Yeah, we have different roles during circumstances like that that each team member plays, and we are prepared now, I believe, for just about any kind of investigation we walk into. But you're a fourth generation investigator of the paranormal, so we could probably learn quite a bit from you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I could tell you a lot about the old ways, the way that my great grandmother and grandmother did. But honestly, back in the day, as I was learning more about equipment, Michael helped me a lot find the right thing and not get ripped off. You know, he was able to help me to find the best deal and get the most for my money. And it was important at that point because I had just been laid off and I had a little severance package and I paid off some bills and I had a few $100s and I wanted to start my new hobby. So Michael's been a good friend and I really appreciate that, Michael.
Yeah, I've been around paranormal a long time now.
You have.
Yeah.
And I had to really basically take my family out of the paranormal closet, so to speak, because my great-grandmother started this, and my grandmother is 98. And so I've been telling a lot about her stories and her investigations, and she's still with us, and her vision is going, and her knees are antique, as she puts it.
Antique.
Antique, but she's a sweet, sweet, sweet lady, and she still remembers cases. And what we do is we go behind her as a team, and we investigate the way that she and my great grandmother investigated, but we use equipment now.
Yeah.
and compare the differences.
Yeah, how did they cool. investigate that's so different from investigating today?
They used a lot of candles, a lot of compasses, but candles in a jar mm-hmm. were able to be the reason why it's in a jar that way is because the wind can't blow it out. But you can lean over and blow it out. And so a spirit would have to direct their air to be able to blow a candle out of a jar. So it's not a tea light. It's actually a tapered candle
mm-hmm.
in a mason jar, you
yeah.
know. But they use pendulums, compasses. Mama Jenny was a whiz with a Ouija board. A Ouija board was one of their deals. But they had the ability to be able to outright see spirits. One of the funniest stories my grandmother's ever told me was they were living in a little duplex. And her mother was upstairs. And she kept hearing her stepping around the other way, coming back around. She was like, what is mom doing up there? And finally she hears her shout, let me by, I've got to go to the bathroom. And she hears her little mom stepping down the steps and the spirit was right there. She could see it. She finally just told him, let me by, I've got to use the bathroom. And it moved so she could go to the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've often thought about, well, I have, doing an investigation and just using old techniques.
I love it. I love it. I've been doing it for a while.
A Facebook friend that lives in Kentucky, he was doing an investigation out by a cemetery, and he had the mason jar. Inside the jar, he had a ping pong ball.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is he doing? And I watched the video a little longer, and I said, Michael, look at this. Look what he's using. And it started making total sense to me.
I used to use a wind chime in a jar.
Oh, isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, that's what I used to do.
Now, see what I mean?
Seal the lid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seal that lid, and that works out great. See what I mean, Destiny? He's just real unconventional. He comes up with creative things.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. My grandmother used a feather. She used a feather in a jar.
Yeah, I've heard people using feathers.
Well, it's lightweight and it's easy to move. That makes a lot of sense. And just like with the ping pong ball.
And a compass.
Yeah, Michael has talked a lot about a compass.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think you've used one, haven't you?
Yeah, I've used compasses on investigations because a lot of people don't realize that EMFs affect the compass. It'll cause them to spin.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
So... You know, it's as accurate as an EMF meter.
it's a very startling thing when you're investigating something or somewhere or somebody and your compass starts to spin.
Yeah.
Because you know that's not going to happen any other way other than something with electromagnetic field nearby causing it to happen.
Right.
The only other old method I could think of right now is baby powder.
Right. Baby powder is a really good one. Now, Mama Jenny said that she did pour out ping pong balls out of a jar when she was inside of a place. And then she would watch how they moved. And sometimes it would point them different directions. She actually had them point in an arrow before.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she would spell out like a board with chalk and then roll the ping pong ball straight ahead. And then it would pick different words and letters and yes and no and things like that. But she didn't really like those too much because there's too much to chance.
Right. So you've got a book that talks about the origins of four generations of the supernatural.
Right, I do. It's Family Spirit, the origins of five generations. It's four generations for me, but I think we ended up changing the title, five generations, because we've been able to identify my granddaughters being able to see spirits. We're trying to take it real easy because, well, she's two.
Right.
And she can see her deceased grandfather. And she talks to him. And, you know, we don't want to make her think that there's anything wrong with that. She's very happy with it. But I told my daughter, this is what it was like for you. And my mom says, Lee, this is what it was like for you. And in that book, I talk a little bit about what it was like for me as the child and how mom and my grandmother reacted. And then what it was like for me as the mother and how I reacted. Mm-hmm. A big difference. You know, I was fighting, wanting to learn more and don't push these things away, mom, I can handle it. Where on the flip side of that, as a mom, I packed up my kids and my dog and I had a walk that I was using as a weapon running through the house. And I jumped in my van and we took off to my mother's house and I had virtually no money. And I was thinking, my God, I've been doing the supernatural with my family. And here I have got all my little family in my van and I'm headed home to mama. What kind of, you know, supernatural ghost hunter am I, you know? But when it's your kid, it's a big difference. Yeah. Mom had to help me. I wasn't prepared for that.
I didn't have any help with my son, and my son has abilities. His biggest thing is he has prophetic dreams.
Wow. Now that's quite a big gift. And he's such a handsome young man.
Oh,
I know you're proud of him.
I am. I love my baby. I love all my children. They get on to me. They think I love Dylan more because he's the baby, you know, the last one. You want to give them extra attention and extra everything.
Of course.
And my other kids are jealous of him, but they love him. I didn't know, you know, when he first started telling me about his dreams, I think he was 12 years old. He's 24 now. He'd say, Mama, he said, I'm having dreams. And I said, really? I said, you want to tell me about them? He said, not really, because it'll come true anyway. And so he began to tell me some things. And he'd say, Mama, just like in my dream, this actually happened. And I'll go, I'll say this. He actually had a dream, and it's been multiple times. And he's had this dream, and he won't share it with me.
Uh-oh.
He said, I can't, Mama, I can't. But he did tell me this. He said, I know how the world's going to end.
Oh.
I've seen it. He said, I've seen it. And I said, well, tell me. He said, I can't, Mama. I can't talk about it. You know, and that's, I don't know what to say about this, except it haunts him that he has seen devastation.
Well, Destiny, I think you ought to write a book about it. Because you've raised a young man with a gift, a spiritual gift. And there's so many moms and dads out there searching for that type of information. And that's a very strong gift. It's not, you know, I had a dream and then it happened, you know. It's serious stuff. This is prophetic. And your information could make a big difference.
It really could. It really could. If he would ever share it. I understand. You know, I understand. And if he ever tells me, it'll be on his timing. He has began going with us to Paracons. He enjoys working our merch table. That is his biggest thrill. We're getting into paranormal investigation with him slowly. He is taking a demonology class.
Good.
And so he's actually learning a little bit differently about these things. Before any paranormal investigation, he did take and complete a demonology class. So, you know, he's going to be prepared when he does jump in with both feet. He's going
to
be
wonderful. Well, that's the way to do it. Educate him. So whenever he's in the situation, he'll know what to do. He's not going to be taken back. That's wonderful.
Right.
I was just going to say, I had a dream about 9/11, and I was trying to figure out what did it mean. I was pregnant with my son, and the doctor put me to bed because, you know, I was having some problems, you know, with the pregnancy. And so my sleeping patterns were all off. So everybody was awake. I was just laying down, sleeping in kind of a thing. And I woke up shouting, and, you know, everybody came in there to see what was going on. And the dream was that somebody brought a birthday cake to me. And it had two candles on it. And I was watching the candles and they lit them. And it looked like fleas jumping off the candles. And the closer I looked, I realized those were people. And the closer I looked, the more it zoomed in. And the candles were actually the buildings. And I realized they were to start something. Just like a birthday cake, you know, you light them and then. It was because somebody wanted something to happen. This was the start of it all. And I was watching people jump out of the windows and people were running covered in soot and smoke and ash. And I was trying to stop people to ask them what happened. And they stopped and they said that something ran into the building and there's explosions. And for me to get out, and everybody was talking about being sick, feeling sick. And then I woke up yelling, you know. And I didn't know what in the world did that mean. And then it was 3 days later, it happened. I wish it had been sooner so that I could have tracked more about what was going on and give me a little more time to digest the dream so that I could see what happened on television. It would make better sense, but that's all I had. That's all I got.
Right. My sister had strong psychic abilities. She was absolutely amazing. She had a vision and, my son's father was planning on taking a trip to Port Prince, Haiti. And she said, you need to tell him not to go, that this is one he doesn't need to go on. And I said, well, you know, he's going to go, you know, he was a missionary. I said, you know, he's going to go. There's nothing we can ever say or do to stop him from going on these trips because it's his mission in life, helping people in foreign countries. And she said, well, you tell him he's not going to come back. And I said, what? She said, no, he'll come back. But she said, he's not going to come back when he thinks he's coming back. He's going to be almost 2 weeks later coming home. And I said, what are you saying? And she said, I saw buildings. I saw explosions. She said, I saw an airplane flying into a building.
Oh my and God. Said, she is really good.
Yeah, this is a fact. I promise you. She said, no, I've seen that. Something bad is going to happen. She said, I just don't know where. She said, if I could recognize the buildings, I would know. Now, my sister was very simple-minded. When she was born, one side of her brain, she was very premature, one side of her brain had not fully developed yet. So my sister actually had the mind of a 12, 13-year-old in her adulthood. And so for her to have this ability and have it so strong was amazing. Just amazing. But he did take the trip, and he flew with American Airlines. They were at the airport in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and just as they thought they were about to board the plane, every board in there said, flight canceled, flights canceled, canceled, canceled. He looked, and all the flights on the board were being canceled. And he said, he stopped and thought about what my sister had said for a few minutes. And he was like, they didn't know what was going on because they're in another country and barely anybody speak English, you know, and it's hard to find an interpreter when he would go places. And they were trying to find people everywhere, trying to find out what was going on. And all that they would tell him is America's been bombed. And that's what he thought. That's the way it looked to them. That was the word that had gotten out. Well, he ended up staying, I think it was nearly 14 days before he got to come home. So every word that she said had come to pass.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just amazing. I didn't realize I was watching this live on TV. One plane had already hit the building. Then I saw the other one. And I'm like, oh, my God. This can't be happening. I called my sister and she said, I told you. I told you.
Dang.
She said, he's not home. But see, at the time, we didn't know, you know, it was startling because we didn't know, okay, is that the plane he was on? You know, it happened about the same time he was supposed to be leaving, maybe a little after. And so it was wild. It was wild. And we have that anniversary coming up here, what, in a couple of weeks, 9/11?
Yes, it is. And, you know, they've closed the museum. And I just think that's awful.
Mm.
You know, everybody says, you know, never forget. Well, you know, finish that sentence. You know what I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
Man, oh, man. Well, your sister is a very gifted lady. I don't know if it was just because I was... Of course, I had to be medicated because of my situation.
Right, right.
And I was very distracted. I had a lot on my mind. But that's all I got. And I thought that was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah, my sister passed away about 4 years ago now.
Yes, been about four years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I miss her so much. After my mother died, I took over taking care of her. And it was amazing to have her.
She was my buddy.
I bet she was.
Yeah, she loved Michael so much.
Aww. That's awful. I am so sorry. Yeah. You'll see her again. You know where she is.
Yeah. She actually is a very playful little spirit at our house in Temple.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
She loves to... if we have company over, somebody new, especially men, the men folk, she'll play with their hair. You know, people that didn't even ever know I had a sister, new people that we meet and we have them over, you know, to talk paranormal or whatever the business may be. They're like, something just touched my head. And I'll be like, all right, Mel, you need to stop. Leave him alone. So she is very playful, and I feel like she visits there.
I'm sure she does. And that's wonderful that you're aware of that. That's quite a gift.
Right. Now, I did watch a TV show that I think you and your family was on, The Ghost Inside My Child.
Yes. Oh, now, my goodness. You watched it. That's great.
That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a wonderful story between my son. Well, I mean, it's it's wonderful with all of us, because my mother's even in that, telling her side of the story, being, you know, Southern Baptist, and very surprised of all that was going on. But he really saved my husband's life. And if we hadn't given weight to what my son was saying, things would be very different at my house right now. The advice he gave my husband was when the bombing starts, and he told him it was going to be either 3 months, but you know, when he first arrives within 3 months, or when he's about to leave within 3 months, that bombings would start and they would make it past barriers. And don't run. You're going to want to run, but get down. Don't run. It'll bounce. And it actually saved my husband's life.
Amazing. Amazing.
I really do feel that spirit gives us these, God, our creator, gives us these abilities and these moments. I really do. Whenever we've got so much against us, the scripture about he won't give us more than what we can bear. You know, if we're running into bad shape, I feel like God's going to give us the help we need, even if it's just through our instinct. And we are the only animal on the planet that doesn't really listen to our instinct, and I think that's a shame.
That is so true. That is so
Yeah.
true. And I read about you in Hollywood Entertainment News.
Oh my goodness.
This little thing. I saw that. I actually had they actually featured me in that too as well. That was quite an honor.
Yes.
And you also have a podcast here with Web Radio.
Yes, I'm with I do Family Spirit International with the Web Radio Network. I've been doing it 15 years this November.
This is new for Michael and I because we've always been the people interviewed on podcasts. We've been interviewed by a couple of TV shows, interviewed on Facebook, and just different interviews. And so it's hard for us to adjust. It has been as being the person interviewing somebody else.
Well,
So that's been hard for us to adjust, but it's fun and we love doing this.
we've always been the being interviewed. We've always been the
Yes.
guests on the radio show. I did one here a couple years ago. It was actually out of Canada, and it
Rob
was
McConnell.
Rob McConnell, and it was simulcast in five countries that night.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
My radio show before was actually simulcast and four radio stations and a podcast and several places at live before it started bouncing around. That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of live listeners. But I really enjoy working with Web Radio Network. I feel like I've made the right move to this station. I think it's
Oh, yeah.
the positivity and being able to do nothing but the paranormal or supernatural. You know, I'm not having to do a whole lot more. That's great.
Right. It
I've
is
had a lot of
great.
people follow.
Yeah, we have too. We've had a lot of people come over with us.
You guys have a following for sure. I mean, you
Yeah.
travel and people know you, and you know, you're great at being able to be a good host and hostess to people.
Yeah.
We try.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done I don't know how many Paracons now this year.
That I was scared to death the first Paracon that we did. I had never been to one, and I talked to you about this before. I've never been to one. I want to put one on one day. I mean, I want it to be great and grand. I don't have a clue how to do it. And the fact that the first Paracon we did was in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the MGM Grand, that
Yeah, the Para
scared
Unity
me to
Conference.
death.
Yeah.
But we were speakers at that event, and you know that was my first one, and I absolutely love doing them, meeting people.
Well, you never meet a stranger,
No.
Destiny.
No, not really.
And people just naturally love you, you know? You've got a very giving spirit and you validate people's feelings, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yep, she does. But she's very good at talking with people. So
exactly.
So who have you worked with in the past? Any big names? Anybody we would know?
Well, I've had several people on the show, on my radio show. I've had John Zaffis. I've had Nick Roth, Aaron Goodwin, Barry Fitzgerald. That was a lot of fun. Keith and Carl Johnson. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I've had Brian Cano.
I met him. He's a pretty cool guy.
Isn't he sweet? He's a good fellow. Yeah. He's got a great sense of humor.
Right. We met him in person in Wisconsin earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good pair on Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was. And I'm excited to get to do this one with you.
I'm excited too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to be there together. It's our first event together.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. My husband's excited about coming, and he's going to get to meet you guys.
Awesome. We're looking forward to meeting him too.
Well, you know, our director and I grew up in the same area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Stan.
Yeah, we were only one county apart in North Carolina.
That's crazy. That's awesome. It's a small world.
Yeah.
It really is. And the paranormal community is very tight. I know that people complain. People complain about, okay, this person's a gossiper or whatever. Or this person said and did this. But it's like that dealing with people anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, not only in the paranormal world, it's in the church. It's in the workplace. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yep.
Not any specific group of people. Just everywhere. Schools. It happens in school. But we try to avoid. We try to avoid any kind of drama. And, you know, every once in a while we get a message from somebody that didn't like something that we posted on the page. You know, you want to bash them and say, hey, look, you don't have to be on my page. But, you know, I always talk it out with them. You know, well, you know, I didn't mean for that to be offensive. And I'm sorry if you took it that way. I even had one just try so hard to pick a fight with me.
Yeah.
On and on. Taking everything I said wrong. And so when we ended the conversation, I said, I love you.
Aww.
He said, what? I said, I love you. He said, you don't know me. He said, I said, I don't have to know you. And so then the next day he sent me a message. He said, I've been thinking about everything you said. And to know that you care about people and you care about me, even though I was being an ass, that was his words. Yet you time to talk to me. And see, that's what I try to do. You know, I do have a temper. So, you know, people shouldn't push it too far. Ask Mike. But, you know, I try to handle situations with love and kindness best I can.
I know you do. I do too. I feel like a lot of people misunderstand my intentions sometimes. And I feel like I'm being pretty obvious. And it comes out backwards. But, you know, that's the way it is. You got to learn how to communicate well and roll with the punches, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, in the paranormal community, there's a lot of jealousy.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of jealousy in the paranormal community. And people have a tendency, they want to attack something you've done without finding the facts out first.
Absolutely.
I know it. That's a lot of what I've experienced, but it's been like that everywhere too.
Absolutely.
It's not just the paranormal. It's just dealing with people.
Yeah.
Too
that's
nice.
What I like about Las Vegas. When we went to the Paracon in Las Vegas, you know, we got to talk with a lot of, you know, I guess you would say big name people in the paranormal, but they were just normal people.
Yeah, that's right. That's something that I really admire about John Zaffis is that he's a approachable guy.
Yeah, and, yeah, I've met John. And,
yeah, I have too. A very kind man. Most of the people that I worked with at an early age are deceased now. My dad was on the Jacques Cousteau Society team, and he worked with, he even did some things with Steve Irwin in early years. And the majority of that was crypto stuff or dealing with Native American spirituality. So, yes, I'm that old. Yeah. But that's all right.
I believe you were telling me about an experience when I was guest on your podcast about being in a camper and maybe
Yeah, that story's coming out in my next book. I've got five total for the Family Spirit series. And this, it's funny, but it's terrifying at the same time. It happened to my mom and I. We were in a little camper that was called a Little Beaver. And back during that time, it was small and you had heat, but it wasn't very, very good and no air conditioning. And the table let down into a bed. You know, and then there's another bed that went across from one window to the other. That was about it. There was a bathroom. And that's what we had. It was easy to tow it behind the station wagon. I'm really telling my age now.
Yeah.
And we were at Silver Springs, Florida. And I was working on some animal calls. And I was right on the edge between the compound and the swamp. And I was doing, we were, my dad and the team were, they were studying animal language. And so naturally, what does that mean? But I need to try to learn to mimic those sounds so we can talk about them. And so what do I do? But now I'm doing these calls and inadvertently I call animals to the camper and one being a Bigfoot, a juvenile Bigfoot. The smell, oh my Lord. Woo. The smell was really bad. And every time he would push the camper, it would wiggle and we would scream. So we're like a squeak toy for the
Sounds
Bigfoot.
like.
You know, push it, scream, ah, push it, ah, you know. So we were making it really fun for the Bigfoot. And then mom came along and he got smacked and sent back to the swamp. They disappeared so quickly, so fast. Mom and I really had a It was terrifying at the time, but now when we talk about it, you know, it's a laugh.
Right.
She was holding my mouth so I wouldn't scream. I was holding hers, and we're sitting in the bathroom floor holding each other like those little paper thin walls were gonna and doors were gonna do anything for us. If that thing meant to hurt us, there wouldn't be a thing we could do.
That's true. I think I saw a Bigfoot once, but I'm not 100% sure.
There's so many different types.
Yes, I mean I've really been studying on cryptids a lot, and we actually had Chris Metcalf on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he's an adventurer and an explorer in our area, and
Knowledgeable, yeah.
he really is. And we have over in Paulding County, which I don't if you've ever visited here, it's one county over from us here in Carroll County, and there's some woods there. It's a federal reserve now,
Yeah,
I think you
so
said.
yeah, it's federal.
Well, there's stories out of people actually seeing a werewolf.
Yeah, dogmen are making their presence known. I had someone on the show last week. It's really crazy you said that. There's a lot of things that are being revealed, and people that talk about what the experiences they've either had or they know someone that's had it, you know, that they are actually being threatened. They're getting emails. So it's a pretty strange society. I kind of want to know more than I certainly don't. You know, it's like I've already had the camper experience. That might not be the best option for me.
Well, we have a picture of something I had pulled in the driveway. It was last winter at our Carrollton house, and it's sort of out in the country. And I pulled up in the driveway, and my headlights caught something between the building next door and the house. And so I zoomed in and took a picture. Well, I showed it to Michael, and it actually sort of looked like a maybe a bear. It was standing up, though. I don't know what I did with that picture, but I still have it somewhere. And I know a lot of times when I go out to walk my little doggy Addie, sometimes you hear crickets and it's just normal feeling outside. And then sometimes you go outside and it's eerily quiet. And so I think that's the reason that I've started reading up on cryptids and different things, because of so many accounts of people seeing them in our area now, more so than ever.
Wow. That's, I don't know if it's because so much of our city life is starting to creep up on their wilderness to where they're coming into us, because we're creeping in on where they live, you know. I don't know if that's it, or there's more that we just don't know, the secrets of what they are and who they are,
right?
You know, because absolutely, there's so many villages in Europe that were very exclusive and they wouldn't let people into their community. You were told, you know, you're not welcome here, you need to leave. And people that did try to settle there ended up dead for very mysterious reasons. I wonder if it's like that.
Could be. I don't know. I know I'm not going back out now to walk Addie at night.
No joke.
That's my job from now on.
What about some people trying to make the connection between cryptids and aliens?
That's what I've heard. I did have someone on the show not long ago talking about that. And apparently what they're saying, well, one theory, I should say, is that Bigfoot is actually able to go interdimensional. You know, they can actually, there's no way that a creature could move that quickly with that size without making a heck of a mess, leaving lots of broken branches and limbs, and without being trackable. Where does it go? It just poof, you know. The hide and seek champion, as they say, you know, what is going on?
Yeah.
Well, they're saying, no, it's going to another dimension. And as we know, based off of our knowledge of mathematics and speed, there's no way that some of these UFOs are able to go the distance and the amount of time that it does. It must be interdimensional. So if you say this creature is interdimensional, and then aliens are, then the common denominator is interdimensional. And what does that mean? It could possibly be an alien.
Well, yeah, Destiny had that theory here a couple years ago. She brought it to my attention. She was already seeing the connection between Bigfoot and aliens. If not, Bigfoot's not like a security guard for the aliens.
Yeah.
Because it seems like wherever Bigfoot spotted, there's UFO spotted.
That's exactly right. One of the person that was on my show was talking about that. Maybe this is a hunter-gatherer that was engineered specifically for aliens to be able to gather information. It's nimble, it's strong, it's stealth, and it can maneuver in these types of terrain, so it can run out there and do its thing, get whatever specimens they need and get back and leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty intense.
I've thought about this. If you don't want intruders coming on your property or getting close to your valuables, what do? You get a guard dog.
Right.
You know, they
exactly
dare come onto your territory with that threat there. And it seems like the biggest thing a Bigfoot wants to do is scare people away. So maybe they're put here as guardians for something to keep us from finding something. Maybe.
That is the best theory that I think, you know, after trying to reason through it and be analytical through it. Looking at all the, like I said, common denominators, that makes the best sense to me.
Well, yeah.
It really does.
Well, you know, the Alaskan Triangle, where they've made the alien connection there, there also been a lot of sightings of Bigfoot. Again, at Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes. Skinwalker Ranch. I want to go to Oak Island and Skinwalker Ranch. That's what I want to do. I don't know how, but I want to see it.
Road trip.
I just want to see it, you know, road trip big time, you know, the bucket list.
Right.
But that Skinwalker Ranch situation for the readings to change. You know how when we start a paranormal investigation, we do baseline readings.
Yeah.
Like we do it psychically as well on our journal. I have a separate journal to the technical side of things so that I can say, okay, this is what I'm feeling here and here and here. The general feeling of this home is, you know, it's very somber or whatever. It's very happy. It's a very family oriented place, whatever it is. And then as the investigation goes, okay, everything just changed. The sun just went down. This is what we're feeling. This is a whole different place. And the technology changes too. Well, Skinwalker Ranch, without anything like the sun going down or whatever, it's just, it changes. They'll try to test, where is this water from this creek going? And they put some sort of dye or milk or whatever, and it just disappears, and nobody ever knows where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting sick and radiation poisoning, but the next time they go back, there's no readings that give off that type of extreme radiation. You know, so how can you really figure anything out if it's constantly changing?
Right.
It's interesting to, you know, the different data that people's come up with over the years on this. And, you know, of course, Area 51, you know, with the alien sightings there. And there's also been Bigfoot spotted in Area 51.
I know. And so much is happening with Skinwalker Ranch. I really feel like this is going to sound kind of interesting. Okay. Just follow me. Okay. But the way that the seasons change, the way this was described to me working with that institute, and then some of the research I've done recently has been able to nod that same direction. Animals are able to feel the electromagnetic field. And as the earth is turning and the seasons are changing, they're going to follow the electromagnetic field based off of what they're accustomed to feeling, which means they're going to fly south, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like animals are attracted to certain types of electromagnetic field because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever is happening there at Skinwalker Ranch, Area 51, all of those things, the EMF is going up and down and changing and changing. And so just like my animal calls in the swamp area of the compound, you know, I got myself in trouble. These animals are going, what is going on over here? We're getting all kinds of readings. What is going on? And I think that they're being attracted to it. Did you see where there was a cow mutilated in a very methodical way, and not even the coyotes came and ate from that carcass?
Mm-mm.
Now, what would cause wild animals that are in the wild having to hunt and kill for their food? What would cause them to not eat from a huge cow?
Be the scent that was left on the cow.
The scent, or yeah, maybe there's some type of chemical or
something from it.
Electromagnetic field left on it. They right. don't feel it safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I do know, you know, anybody that's ever had any encounters, personal encounters with Bigfoot's always said the same thing, that they stink.
It was awful. It was what I experienced was probably a skunk ape. I don't think it didn't feel like it was. And it definitely wasn't very big.
Yeah. One,
but the smell.
Whew. Yeah. One summer we did an investigation at a place in Alabama, and they have a haunted attraction there every year. It's called the Haunted Trail of Fear. And we were out there. It was the first time we went. We've went a couple of times since then. But the first time we went, we began to walk out the trail. And I had a very sensitive, enlightened person with us. And she was the first to notice that all the crickets had stopped chirping. And it began to get a little darker than it had been. And then we had an awful smell.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And it smelled like a skunk, just awful, just nasty smell. And it even had like a little smell in there, like a wet dog, that wet dog, dirty dogs. And you could smell it. And she said, and she, this child doesn't scare easy. She said, I think we need to go back now. She said, because this could be Bigfoot, you know, and kind of joking. I'm like, yeah, right. And then I thought, yeah, right. She could be right.
Yeah.
So we began to walk back to the lights and back up to where we were staying. But the smell, that is what everybody says that's had an encounter, is the smell.
Well, it did smell like what I smelled was somewhere between diarrhea, like diaper, baby diaper, skunk, and swamp water. You know, that green, murky swamp water. It was rough. I mean, when I first smelled it, I was gagging. But then all of a sudden, when you get too afraid to gag, I didn't even realize I was screaming. That's how scared I was. You know, Mom figured it out. We're a squeak toy, be quiet. And I was thinking, what are you talking about, squeak toy? And then push the camper and we'd scream. And then we realized we'd made a game of it.
Right.
My mom's a smart cookie.
Sounds like it.
She started writing again, Destiny.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
She's a smart lady. She loves writing children's books. So, you know, I'm very excited to see what she's coming out with. She's doing a Halloween one right now, so I can, you know, take it with me to Paracons. But she's going to do all the seasons, and she's got a really – it's hilarious. I'll have to tell you off the air because I want to make sure she gets it in place before I say something about it. You know, somebody else might be faster than her.
I'm actually working on my first book.
Good.
It's about a case and the aftermath from that case and how it affected mine and Michael's life. Matter of fact, we had a phone conversation a few years back about this. I was needing some help in that situation. It was something new for me, and it's about that situation that we went through. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do.
Send you a message. Yeah. Well, it's about where we picked this up at, how it affected our lives once it decided it wanted to stay around Michael and I. And then it ends with how we got rid of this.
I love that. Do you have a publisher?
Actually, no.
Okay, well, we'll talk after this. I've got an idea. And I would love to egg you on because I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to read it.
Yeah, I've sort of got a ghostwriter person, but he's sick right now, and he lives over in Alabama. He has written, and he's constantly writing some good stuff and little short stories and putting them on Facebook. He's written books, and he's an amazing man. We met him doing a paranormal investigation at his house.
Yeah, he's an awesome.
Where we actually found quite an he found quite an extraordinary object there at his house that we took possession of, but he is going to help me with this book. And so we're praying that his healing comes and he's good as new, not only because I want him to help me write a book.
Yeah.
Because he's a good person. He is a very good person. He really is. Him and his family. They're good people.
We'll be praying for his healing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Also, I'd like to ask you to pray for my husband's family. My husband lost his grandmother 3 weeks ago, and he's got another sick family member that's very, very serious.
I'm sorry.
And yeah.
Definitely.
So if you guys would keep him in your thoughts and prayers, I'd appreciate it.
We sure will. We're probably got about 5 more minutes to go, and we want to take this opportunity for you to tell us about any kind of books you have on Amazon. I know The Family Spirit. If there's others, Is there things we can expect in the future out of you? What do you have going on now? What's going on in Lee Brown's life?
Well, I'm going to the paranormal conference with you guys, the Deep South paranormal conference. It's a paranormal and Comic-Con, so it's not just a paranormal conference. And I nerd out at Comic-Cons. I dress like my son does and his girlfriend, well, fiance, pardon me. They're engaged. Lots of fun. So I'm going to be so excited. I can't wait to see everybody and spend time with everybody. We've got an incredible group of people coming. I'll be at the Sleepy Hollow, New York Paracon. And there's some more that I'm going to be able to commit to, but I've got to get some other factors in place. I've got a lot more in 2023. Also, you could go to familyspirit.net and you can see my website. I've got two books on Amazon. It's Family Spirit, The Origins of Five Generations of the Supernatural. And then the other one is Parapsychology 101, Your Intro to Your Journey to the Supernatural. And the That's next part of the, thank you. The next book for that group is coming out. I'm teaching at Piedmont Technical College. And so I try to get the books wrapped up into one text so people don't have to buy this and that and this and that. So that'll be ready probably in the next month. And then the second book, it's Family Spirit, an Adventure with Crypts and Cryptids, is coming out before the end of 2022.
Awesome.
I've got a super, super confidential project coming out, but you know, it'll be announced a little later, and I know you're aware, but we'll just, that's all we can say.
That's right. And one day we're going to be able to talk about stuff and things.
I know it. I'm so ready.
He's so good. I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
We'll have to do another show.
I have seen things and I just can't wait.
I know. I can't either. It has been such a pleasure to talk to you tonight. And thank you for whatever you did to help with the little thing that we had going on here around our house.
Not a problem. And,
I need you to work on that some more, because last night Michael and I were laying in bed in our bathroom. Light came.
Oh, crap. Okay, yeah. I got the next step of things in my bag right here beside me. I was going to let you know that I've got the next wave.
In your bag.
Yeah, I got a. I went shopping. I got my stuff.
I've been brushed up. I've had my. This was Wednesday. Was a week ago. I had my hand tapped.
Uh oh.
Also, company over, and as we were walking into the dining room, everybody sat around the table. Something brushed across my shoulders. I looked back to see who was behind me. There was nobody.
Oh, wow.
There. And then, so yeah, it's probably not the same thing as it originally started.
I don't
out
think
with,
so. I'm not. Sure. I think it's evolving. We're on the next level, I hope. Yeah. This is like it's got layers. It's like an onion. It's got layers.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready for the next layer to be peeled off.
Yes, we'll get it.
We will. Thank you so much again. And it has been such a pleasure talking to you.
I've enjoyed being with the both of you. Thank you for having me.
All right. You have a great night, sweetheart.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. Bye-bye.